Okay, this week's sure. This week's Torah portion, this week's parsha is parsha Dachacha, and before I get to the actual shot, I want to give over to you, which is really pulling off parsha Noach and Dachacha together. And again, this is a life changing voice. Really, this is a strong one. Listen to it. I think you'll be hopefully impacted in a way that will assist you to continue your great development up till now that you've had already. I mentioned already in pre-share when we started, but I wanted to mention the guys who weren't there for it, just before we get the share going in the right pattern, in the right path, that today's Bahab, today's the hay of Bahab, and the people have a custom of fasting, and of saying Avinu Malkeinu, etc. This morning I was in shul, and we said Avinu Malkeinu with the shul. I wasn't fasting, and I didn't go to sleep in the first part, but I was in shul for the Avinu Malkeinu, it's time, I think. And when I got to Batel Machshavos Sonenu, which means to uproot. On the side there? To uproot the Machshavos Sonenu, the thoughts of our enemies. I was very much having in mind a lot of what's going on around us right now. You know, with people throwing stones and cars and damaging and much worse things than that even. And I was having in mind, because Baruch Hu should, whatever our enemies want to do to us, all their thoughts, please batel, make it batel, make it not successful. And about, I don't know, half hour, 4 minutes later, I came home, and sirens by my house. Lots of sirens, lots of things going on, and my wife was going to take my kids to school. She says, what's going on? So I went online, I saw that, you know, like right over the hill where I could see the helicopters flying out right now was a pigua, was a terror attack. It was right near my house. Actually, the Sholem Aleichem from Kutzer last year, so it was on his block. By name, the one who was here, Rabbi Rudolph, last year, it was on his block where the terror attack happened. My wife and I know someone very well who lives in that area. There's a woman who tutors my daughters in learning. And we called her and said, everything okay? And she said she saw the entire thing happen from her window with her son. And she said it was mom's the biggest miracle. Two people came in with knives outside near a shul area. She thought, again, the news says they were going into a bus, but she said they were going to the shul. And they saw Machlokas, policeman or just a Sistam guy. And they stabbed the person in the upper part of the body. The person is fine. There, she said she's never remembered seeing a chayal at all ever in this area. She's never seen one. In the entire time they've been living, it's a new development. It's just something built. And there happened to be a soldier dressed in fatigues. Say again?
Gimel.
Yeah. Right near where you're your teacher, exactly. Right.
Yeah, she saw it
from her. She saw it also. There was a soldier that was there, Stam. And he turned around and shot both of the terrorists. He took care of them, and I don't know if they're dead even, but that's it, they were done. Can you imagine the catastrophe that would happen? The Sonenu, the Machshavot Sonenu, was like, that's too much damage, we can go, let's go to a shul. It's a place where people don't have weapons, they're not people who are veterans of the army at all. Let's see what we can do, that's how much chaos we can wreak. And instead, Baruch Hu Batel Machshavot Sonenu, he was a tremendous nace. It's true, someone was hurt. Was hurt. Baruch Hashem, not too badly, but hurt anyways. That's one person too many should be hurt. But the gift that God's Baruch Hu, with the timing that happened, the way it happened, saved so many lives. We don't know. We never know what's going to be. Who knows? But for us, certainly, tefillah, where we are right now, we have to have extra kavanas in our tefillah. So, B'tushem, there should be anything that comes out of the shmooz, if anything effective has on any one of you, should be hopefully a zechus that we should have a speedily solving these issues and be able to live our lives in a normal fashion once again. I got a phone call yesterday from a student of mine, Albert Steinberg, who was in yeshiva about 8 years ago. This is from the Brooklyn community. And he said to me, Rabbi, you know, he left me yesterday, can I speak to you about something? So I was worried what it was going to be about. I was having a bad one to say to him right now. His name was bad. So I reached out to him. I said, Albert, I spoke to you in like 3 years. What's up? He goes to me, you know, I saw last week your shmooz. I listened online. I said, oh, thanks. It's nice, Albert. He's like, and I heard the question you asked in your son's name. I looked it up. I spent like time looking it up, and I have two answers for you. And he got the answers. He actually WhatsApped me. Picked up a picture of one of the answers. We went through it together on the phone. So you know the idea that someone can listen to Torah online and do something about it, and not that but share Torah with me. For me, it was a very exciting thing. So which is why this shmooz we give right now, whether it's you're here for the year in Israel, or you'll be years after the fact, you know, opportunity has listened to Y Torah and other types of opportunities to learn Torah is a very impactful thing both for the guys who are here now. As well as guys in the future. That being said, I want to start the actual shmooze for this week. I've always been bothered by this this topic. It's really the end of last week's parsha, but I want to focus on four personalities that we have in the parsha, the end of last week's parsha, that lead up to this week's parsha. We know the famous, even though the Torah does not describe it, and ask why the Torah does not describe it, it's a great question. There's a whole incident that took place between Avram Avinu and his father, and Nimrod, and Avram's brother. Whole story that happened, and it's only referenced in passing in the Chumash. The Chumash in last week's parsha, the very end of last week's parsha, parsha Noach, it says the following words. It says, these are the generations of Terach. Terach gave birth to Avram, to Nahor, and to Haran. Haran gave birth to Lot. Haran died in front of his father, Terach. That's all we have of the famous, famous story. The story of Avram Avinu going out, breaking his dad's idols, being taken to Nimrod, the chief idolater of the time, thrown into a fiery furnace, walking out alive, unscathed, not mentioned Bichlal the Chumash.
Why is it mentioned?
Why is that mentioned?
Where is it
mentioned? I've never heard it before.
It's all Midrashim.
It's best we...
Every Midrash has it, the Rashi quotes it, everyone talks about it, but it's not in the Chumash. It's actually a famous Ramban who discusses why it's not in the Chumash, not for now, but it's not in the Chumash, it's in the Midrashim. But there's a lot of references to it that are in passing references to it. And there are four people I'd like to focus on for this discussion. Avram Avinu. I'll just go back to tell you some of the story, the background story. Avram Avinu, we knew he was watching his father's idolatry shop. And what happened was someone came in to offer to buy a korban, to buy one of the idols. And Avram said to them, want to buy an idol? How old are you? 50 years old. You want to buy a 3-day-old idol? You're 50 years old, you're serving this thing? What's with you? She's like, walked out and she didn't buy it. Next person walks in and says, I want to offer an offering to the idol. He's like, we'll be happy to take it. And he takes it, and he puts it down, and he takes, we all know this part of the story, takes a hammer and smashes all the idols, put the hammer in the hand of the big one. And, his father comes back and is like, what happened? She's like, you wouldn't believe it. Woman came in, wanted to give an idol an offering. And, there was a whole discussion, who should have it? He should have it. The big one said, I'll get it. And he duped it out. The big one won. Look, here he is. He's got evidence in his hands. Caught stone-handed. Right? He's right here. I got him. So I was like, what are you joking? Like, give me a break. Idols don't move. They don't have feelings and thoughts and fights. He's like, so why are you serving them? So the father's like, live it. That's it. Come with me. Grab him by the ear. That part's not mentioned. I'm just adding it in. Took him to Nimrod. And Nimrod says, throw it into the fire. Why fire? Water, what's that fire? Throw it into the water. Throw it into the water. Why water? Throw it into the clouds. The clouds hold water. We'll take you to the God of the clouds. Why clouds? How about wind? Wind disperses clouds. You're right. Take you to the God of the wind. Why wind? Human beings can withstand strong winds. He's like, that's it. I'm taking you into the fire. Again. Let's see if your God that you claim exists can stop you. At this point in time, Avraham is given a test. Has he ever spoken to God before?
No,
never. He's thrown into a fire. His brother, the Medrash, says Haran is watching the entire event happen. And Haran's sitting there, what's going to do? What happens when they come to me? What am I going to do when they ask me what I want? Whose team am I? And sure enough, Avram walks through unscathed. And Haran said, if Avram wins this battle, I'm on his team. And if he loses, obviously I'm not on his team. He walks out unscathed, and Haran says, I'm on. And he called to Haran. He said, Haran, and whose team are you on? He says, that guy? Who just walked out of the fire? I'm on his team, I think. They take Haran, and he chose to live with God, and instead God doesn't protect him. He dies in the fire. I never understood, why is Haran dying in a fire? He was picking the right team in the end. He did good. And even more troublesome to me, what on earth was Nimrod thinking? Imagine you were the guy who challenged Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu was thrown to a fire. You're God, and even if not God, a fire. And he walked out unscathed. Would you possibly go to a guy and say, and whose team are you on? Why aren't you on Avram's team? How could Nimrod even think for a second to maintain his position? What kind of a fool is he? He may be very charismatic. But at some point in time, don't you get a knock on the head and realize, my gosh, what am I doing? What happened? So I have a question on Nimrod. I have a question on Haran. Why was he punished? Why were they killed? I ask a question on Avram. Why couldn't Avram just keep it to himself? Why couldn't he just, do his own thing, Why do you have to start a whole ruckus? In the world we have today, people fight all the time. Why? People say, we can just be ourselves, we'll do our own thing. Why do you gotta be that guy who smashes idols? Just do your own thing. So, regarding that, I'll tell you over a shot that my neighbor, his name is Yogi Axelrod, so he texted me a question just yesterday. And he said to me, check out his Sforno when it says that the palit, the story was that Lot was taken, this parsha, Lot was taken captive. And the palit, we read it as Og came along and he told Avram that his Lot was taken. And it says that he went to Avram HaIvri. Avram HaIvri. It doesn't say he went to Avram, the uncle of Lot, even though he was the uncle of Lot. So the Sforno says, what happened? How come it didn't describe what Avram really was, his uncle? That's why it should have gone to him as an uncle, not as an Ivrim. So it says the Sforno, an unbelievable shot. This is a shot for life. He says that the reason why he called him Avram HaIvri is because Avram and Lot shared, they shared a belief system. Ivri means that he was from the people of Aver. Like Shem to Aver, he was among people who studied, who followed the belief system of Aver. And he came to Avram because he didn't know he was even Lot's uncle. Because he knew that he believed in a similar belief system, and he would not be okay with someone else, being in trouble that's from that system at all. He wouldn't be okay with that in the end. Because Avram cared for people, even if it wasn't his relative, he would care, because he's an Ivri. He's part of the people who cared. Avram Avinu destroyed all the idols because he could not tolerate people living a life of falseness. He couldn't tolerate it. How could you sit here? If you ate him up alive, I'll give you an example for a second if I can. I give a best friend, a great friend. And that friend of yours, Nebuch, is stuck in drugs. He's stuck. He's doing terrible things. At what point in time do you say to him, I can't watch you destroy your life anymore? I can't. Does he have to, does he have to steal from someone? Does he have to do terrible acts in order to get money to pay for his habit? At what point in time do you pull him aside and be like, I just can't watch it anymore. I can't watch you. You're a train wreck. At some point, you got to do that. If you care about someone enough. Avraham Avinu could not stand to watch a person live his life in a way that was just not right anymore. He couldn't do it. It just ate him alive. That's what made Avraham Avinu so great. He couldn't. How was he going to sit back and watch the world crumble the way it is when to him it was so obvious that you're messing around, you're messing up? I went last night. I went to a shiva call. I paid a shiva call by somebody, Rebbetzin Machlis. The Machlis family is well known in Maladafna and the entire country, really. And the husband, Rabbi Machlis, also read his wife, an unbelievable story. One that when I listened to, I was like, I would never do that. But this makes her so special. The first non-kosher restaurant in Yerushalayim opened up was McDonald's. And when she heard about it, she was like, floored. This is going to be a non-kosher. And McDonald's, like, we all know McDonald's. We live in America, we're in Canada. McDonald's, like, the representation of everything like that's not kosher in the world. And she's like, I can't be. And she went. And she went to every rabbi in the country and put in a fight, and she protested. And she went to the government offices and said, how can you do this? And she even called McDonald's. She said to them, you don't understand, you're talking about the sanctity of Jerusalem. How can you, at least for the respect of people, how can you do this? And in the end, they told him that really it was not, it's not a choice, this is an individual franchise and each person makes their own call. She called the person who was running that store, and the person said, I did a calculation, I did a marketing ad, and I found out that more people are going to buy it if it's not kosher, so I'm going non-kosher. You imagine she would give up at that point in time. She'd give up. But she didn't. She took 6,000 pieces of paper. She wrote down, why kosher support. She Xeroxed copied something in Hebrew and in English, and the rabbi said, maybe even Russian, she was short. She stood outside McDonald's saying, this is not kosher. This isn't kosher. Now imagine you walk to McDonald's. You'd be like, get out of my face, lady. I have my own life to live. I live my own life the way I want to live my life. She couldn't take it. Because how could she watch someone throw away a kedusha they have in their body? She couldn't tolerate it. And therefore, for that reason, she sat and she fought it. She fought it. Your friend, at some point in time, your friend, he has a habit of drinking and driving. When do you just take his keys away and say, I'm sorry, no more? What point in time do you pull someone aside and say, you're ruining your life? Those are obviously very physically damaging things. But Avraham Avinu could not tolerate a person ruining his spiritual life. He couldn't tolerate it. You're here one time. It's called a lifetime. Once in a lifetime is your life. And to watch someone spend so much time investing in things that are not healthy, it's terrible. I one time saw I saw there was a sports athlete, I remember it was sports athlete years ago, and he was addicted to playing sports video games. He would miss practice. He even missed games. He had to retire because he had an addiction to video games. When do you say to a guy, you know, why don't you actually play the game? Stop playing the pretend game on the video screen. Play the game. Some people get so stuck, they never know what the difference between the game and the pretend game is. Who in this room right now is playing the game? Who's still playing the video game version of it? Of going around and investing so much time in so many things. Well, Shabbat Shalach will be here right now getting papers. What are you doing right now? I understand things are hard, and things are troubling, and learning is difficult, and making the money is hard. That's the game. You want to play the pretend game? The game of do whatever you want because it's easier to do, that's the pretend game. Avram is an Ivri. He couldn't stand. Rebbe Tzimachus couldn't stand to watch a person invest in their life in a pretend game. So he did something about it. He told the world. They didn't want to hear it. It threw him into a fiery furnace. But why did Haran get punished? Why is he punished? He wanted to walk. He followed Avram's wishes. And the answer is very simple. When you walk into fire and you die, it's not called a punishment. That's called normal. It's normal. Haran didn't do anything for God. He did something for himself. So he's saying that now, okay, even if he believed in God, for you to be protected by God's brother in a miraculous fashion requires you to be a hero. Haran was no hero. He was just like you and I. Same as you and I were. As a matter of fact, I'll show you even more than that. A question always bothered me this week's Parsha. By Lot. How was Lot related to Haran? Remember how Lot related to Haran? Lot was Haran's son. Now Lot became Avram's like adopted child in the end. He stuck with him a lot. You know why? Because imagine how Avram feels when his own brother, Haran, follows suit and doesn't make it through the fire. He's got some orphan children right now. Sarah, one of them actually, his wife, he married her. And Lot he took as a son, as a brother, as a son, whatever you want to call him. He took them together. When the Torah describes Lech Lecha, listen to the words it uses to describe Lech Lecha. Hashem tells Avram, Lech Lecha, etc. So after he says, "Vayilch Avram," the pasuk Dalad, Parak Yud Beis, this is the parsha that Avram went like Hashem told him. Vayilch Ito Lot, and Lot also went. Who invited Lot? What do you mean he's going right now? And the next pasuk says the following thing: Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, v'yes Lot ben Achim. Number one, what do you mean Vayikach? He already was there. What do you mean he took him? And number two, why would Lot be referred to ben Achim? The second time you meet him, not the first time. If I was writing a book and told you about a character, I would tell you about the character right away. It should say, "Vayelech ito Lot ben Achim." How come it said Lot went with him? And all of a sudden it says that Avram had to take Lot ben Achim. So I think the answer is somewhat simple. And a lesson for you. You look around each other, and I've had this conversation with many people in the course of the last few days. We're overwhelmed. The amount of learning that we do, to expect it to go to davening every single day, it's overwhelming to me. And you say to me, "Rabbi, I need some space." And you know what? You're 100% right. You do. But you have to do something about it. You have to do something about it. The truth is, Haran and Lot both failed because they thought they were like Avram. Oh, if Avram goes as Haran, then I'll go in. And Lot said, "Oh, Avram's going on a mission, I'll go with Avram." But he didn't go to Lot. But you know what? Lot was just like his father. He couldn't keep up with Avram. He wasn't supposed to be. So Avram had a vayikach. He had to take Lot ben Achim, the Torah tells you. Dafkei took Lot because Lot was just like his father, Avram's brother. He was trying to raise the bar, but he wasn't holding by that yet. Not every person walks through a fire and is saved. Not every person can pass his nacha. But to not be you is a terrible crime. We mentioned in the Gemara, Vamosh in Yerushalmi Rosh, means you're not the real thing. You're more, you're less, you're not the real thing. You have to at least be you. A person to say, you know what, I'm overwhelmed. I can't learn this much. Well, how much can you learn? Give me a number. I can't daven that much. Well, how much can you daven? Pick a number. Do something about it. But to say, I'm overwhelmed, I can't do it, it's too hard for me, I want to go home. Whenever you do anything in life that requires effort, so take your time, but build up for it. Don't get all frustrated. Don't get all, you know, like, I can't do this, it's too hard for me. What can you do? So do that at least. Some people can do everything. They can go to every minute. They can go to every single Seder. Good for you. But those of you who can't, it's fine for you also. But stop making excuses about yourselves. Be you. Haran wasn't Haran. He was trying to be Avram. Lo wasn't Lo. He was trying to be Avram also. They both made mistakes. They tried to raise the bar. But many of us try to lower the bar. It's not for me. What is for you? You have to decide that. But the last part before I finish up is the part that troubles me the most. What in the world is wrong with Nimrod? What's wrong with him? How can someone watch Avram walk through a fiery furnace and have the gall to go to Avram's brother and say, "And you? Who do you want to be with?" Why would Nimrod bow down to Avram and be like, "You must be a god, I will follow your god"? And the answer, I think, also is somewhat simple. There are times in life when something is so obvious, it's so clear, and you just refuse to see how clear it is. You just can't see it. And it's like slapping you in the face. I'll give you another example of this. There's a story we have by Bilam. You know who Bilam was? Bilam was this prophet of the nations. He went on a mission to try to curse Bnei Israel, and on the mission, and his animals stopped multiple times in the way, until finally he started screaming out, "What are you doing?" You know what the animal did? It talked back to him. You know what Lot did? It talked back to him. Now, I mean, not Lot, sorry, Bilam. If I were Bilam, I'd be like, "My gosh, like, you speak, my trusty donkey, and you speak." If I don't know how you're doing, I'm sorry for bothering you, for hitting you so many times, we have a conversation. Lot didn't even beat an eyelash. You know why? Because he was so fixated on his life. He could, Bill, I'm sorry, thank you. He was so fixated on his life that he could not get past it. He couldn't see past the fakeness of his life. Sometimes God sends you a message, like, just wake up. Why are you living in the world that you fantasized about, that you made up in your life, and just getting stuck in it? Enough already. See the world for what it is. See you for what you are. Do something about it. These personalities shaped Jewish history. Had it not been for Avram, we wouldn't be here today. If Avram didn't care about us and didn't want to fight for us, we wouldn't be here today. And maybe we wouldn't have fought for each other, because you don't care about each other enough. If you cared about truth, you cared about each other enough, and you would be so frustrated. If I would see one of you guys slack off, you know how much that hurts? Not because I'm angry at you. Because I'm watching you right now with a chance of a lifetime to pull this off. To get things together. I don't know how to live life, but I can tell you one thing, that if God's not involved in your life in a very serious way, then you're messing it up. To have your life, you know, center around ridiculous things. And you would sacrifice greatness and closeness to God for dumb things. You sacrifice your davening. You sacrifice your learning or your chesed or your mitzvot. Or in tzitzit, or anything else like that. For dumb things, for saying late at night, doing silly things. And someone's got to take us away and give you a little shake and say, "What are you doing this for?" If Avramino was here right now, he would be given the, "Why? This is the only chance you're going to get. And you can't see past the lies in the world, the falsities in the world. You're so obsessed with it, it means nothing. You're playing a video game instead of actually playing the game. When? How can I teach you otherwise?" That's Avram. And Lot and Haran teach us less of them. Just know where you are, wherever you have to live. That's what you want to do. Just wherever you are. Don't be Avram. But just be you at least. Grow in your own pattern at least. And don't follow the Nimrods of the world who are so obsessed with everything they can't even see the truth past them. I think there's so many boys who in the end they say, "I don't know what, I can't explain to you beyond that. I don't know what to tell you. That's what I feel. That's how I feel." With no sense of logic. You're living a life that's not real. We should all be Zocha. Avraham started the process for us a long, long time ago. We say every single day in davening, Magin Avraham. I have a point over here. I said this way back when, at the beginning of the year, but you know what Chazal, it's not Chazal, but that maybe the Chisharim brings this down. It means that Hashem protects the peace of Avraham and you and I. Hashem protects every one of us. We're from the DNA of Avraham. We're from the forefathers. You have a piece of Avraham inside of you. That piece is the piece that demands truth. It wants to be close to God. You make that bracha in front of Esrei, you just remember the minion in front of Esrei. Close your eyes and say, "God's bracha. I love assistance in connecting more to Avraham. I wish I had the strength of character to save my life goes off. Man up already. I should be going. I should be learning. I should be working hard to be close to God. Hashem, the situation should clear up soon. Hashem, our lives should clear up as well. Have a great Shabbos." Cheered up. Well, that's what I was wondering.